Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Today we're continuing our series of sermons on the Lord's Prayer. And if you remember, there are seven petitions, seven requests in the prayer. And the first three we've taken as a case of Hebrew parallelism, three ways of saying the same thing. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord's Prayer opens with the request that God's loving purpose for this world might be completed, might be fulfilled. And it's a reminder to us that our own prayer should begin the same way, with a request that God's loving purpose for us and this world and this universe be completed, be fulfilled. And after this, with the fourth petition, the Lord's Prayer turns to our needs. And this is where we begin today with, give us this day our daily bread. Okay. The reading, first from Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And then in Matthew, from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, pray then in this way, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. I've got an old but a cute story for you. A major chicken producer from this country went to see the Pope in Rome. And he said to the Pope, I'll give the church an unrestricted gift of $10 million if you'll change the Lord's Prayer to give us this day our daily chicken. And the Pope said, you know I can't do that. No way. And the chicken producer from America said, well, I'll up it. I'll give the church an unrestricted gift of $50 million if you'll change the Lord's Prayer to give us this day our daily chicken. The Pope said, You know, there's no way I can do that. The man said, oh, all right, this is as high as I can go. This is my last offer. I will give the church an unrestricted gift of $100 million if you change the wording of the Lord's Prayer to give us this day our daily chicken. And the Pope said, well, okay, I'll do it. And he called the College of Cardinals together, and he said to the College of Cardinals, I've got good news, and I've got bad news for you. The good news is we have a gift of $100 million, unrestricted. The bad news is we've lost the Wonder Bread account. Why do I like that? I don't know. This morning we're turning to the fourth petition in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And I'd like to look at what this means as a prayer, but also its implication for how we lead our lives and what our behavior might be. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us white bread, whole wheat bread, sourdough bread, pumpernickel bread, rye bread. Actually, in Jesus' time, he was probably talking about barley bread. And if the Great British Baking Show was on back in those times on TV, the contestants would be asked to make barley bread. That was the staple of the people. Give us this day our daily bread. It's all right to bring our basic needs to God. Jesus was quite aware that, you know, we have to pay the mortgage, we have to put clothes on the kids' backs, we have to pay the doctor, we have to buy food. He was very much aware of what we face in daily life, all the practical stuff. And he's saying here, it's all right to bring that to God. You know, during his ministry, he was dealing with real people, flesh and blood people. And the economic times were not good. Have you ever wondered, as you read the Gospels, Jesus speaks and there are all these huge crowds? They're huge crowds because nobody has any work. There's a recession going on. And that's why if you visit Israel, you see that Herod had a vast building program to inject money into the economy and give people work. Jesus is saying, well, you know, it may not be right to pray for a bright red Cadillac convertible, but it's okay to lift our needs to God. Give us this day our daily bread. I think there's a second point here, and that is, again, notice it's in the plural. Give us this day our daily bread. We're not just praying that we might never go homeless or without food ourselves. We're praying that our brothers and sisters who are also struggling to have a living, we're praying that their concerns are important too, and we're lifting those to God. It's you know, in today's world, hunger is a very serious problem for many people. And this is the result of war. You think of Yemen and the mess that's in, and the disaster it's in. There's climate factors, environmental factors. Often there's food in the country, but the people are too poor to buy it. Poverty is a factor. Many areas of this world, poverty and hunger are very real problems. And even here, I was surprised to learn, 1 in 8 Americans, 1 in 8 Americans do not have enough food to eat. And children in this country, in some areas, approach third world conditions. Unbelievable. And a lot of food stamps, most of the food stamps go to the elderly and to those who are disabled. And I think one thing that the Lord's Prayer by implication, says that we are called to a sensitivity in this area. Do you remember Jesus in his parable of the Last Judgment, where he says, you know, I was hungry and you fed me, I was thirsty and you gave me to drink? And the people say, you know, when did we do that? And he says, even as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Jonathan Sacks tells a story about a rabbi who was woken up late at night by the crying of his grandson, the little baby. And he got up out of his bed, went downstairs, and found his son studying on the kitchen by the kitchen table, and all kinds of books laid out. And he went into the little grandson's room, took the little baby in his arms, and rocked the baby to sleep. And he came out and said to his son, "I don't know what you're studying, but it's not the word of God if it deafens you to a child's cry." And his point was, in this world of plenty, there are children who are crying. And as Christians, we shouldn't let ourselves be deafened to that cry. And I must say one thing about this church. I'm impressed with your generosity and the kindness you have shown to others. And in talking to Jody, these are some of the factors she gave me. Do you realize so far this year, this church has given 1,754 sandwiches to GWIM, that's the Interfaith Social Agency up in Waterbury. 1,754 sandwiches. And 360 cans of soup to the Southbury Food Bank. 572 diapers. And that's just the surface. There's all sorts of stuff beyond that. And I remember, this was years ago, when we were in Africa. We were in a rural area where a lot of the people went through cycles of starvation. They were subsistence farmers. They raised enough food just for themselves. And if the rains didn't come through properly, their crops just, dried up in the fields. And there was starvation. And what happened was, especially the young and the old would be so weakened by malnutrition that they didn't have the strength to withstand the winter cold. And they would die. But the Congregational Church, in cooperation with others, very quickly had truckloads of grain on the way. They had this high-protein milk they give to children that restores them quickly. And to realize that, this was a number of years ago, but your ancestors in this church, through their support of wider mission, and some of you may have been around at that time, through the support of the wider mission of the church, actually saved lives. So I am impressed by the generosity and the kindness I find here. There's a story, this is a true story, by the way, which I think reflects the way generosity and kindness can change lives and have its effect on us too. And this is a story about Howard Kelly. Howard Kelly lived in Pennsylvania, northern Pennsylvania. And he was a little boy and very poor. And to raise money for his school supplies, he had to go around as a door-to-door salesman. He was just a kid, a little kid, around to a door-to-door salesperson. And one day, he was just wiped out. No sales. He had a dime in his pocket. He had sort of given up on God, given up on people. He was sort of at his wit's end. He was finished. And he decided he would ask for a glass of water at the next home he came to. And a lot of these homes, some of them would be in a village, but a lot of them in northern Pennsylvania would be farms. And he came to this house, and a young woman came to the door, and he asked, "Could I have a glass of water?" And this woman looked at him and saw that he was sort of wiped out. He was sort of just wasted there. And she came back with a glass of milk and four large cookies. And he ate those cookies and that glass of milk. And that sort of revived him. It revived his faith in people, revived his faith in God, and gave him the strength to pick up and continue on. Now the years passed. A lot of time passed. And the woman who had been so kind to him became very ill, very sick. And the doctors didn't know just what to do. And so they sent her from the local hospital up to a major center. And the doctors there were looking at her, and there was this specialist who saw that this woman came from his hometown. And he realized, when he looked in the room, he realized this was the woman who had been so kind and generous to him many, many years ago. She did not recognize him. He's a grown man now. And he agreed to take her case. And it was rough going, but he did save her life. But now her next problem was, and this was in the 1800s, how on earth was she going to pay for all of this? And she just didn't know what she was going to do. And eventually, this doctor, whose name was Howard Kelly, came into the room and gave her an envelope. And she knew this was it. This was the bill. How was she going to handle this? No way she could. And she opened the bill, and it said zero. And she looked at him kind of completely flabbergasted and puzzled. She, what is this? He said, "Read the P.S. And it said, "Paid in full with a glass of milk and four large cookies." This Howard Kelly went on. He founded the gynecological oncology section at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore. And I think he did that in 1895, and I think he lived right up into the early 1940s. But a very accomplished man. And it was that act of kindness that kept him on the path. So you never know what an act of generosity, what difference that could make. Not just to your life, but to someone else's. I think there's also another point here that is important, and we look ahead to communion next week. And that is, this passage has often been understood in terms of a request for spiritual bread, not just physical bread, but spiritual bread. There's a spiritual hunger. And you know, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You know, you drink this water, you'll never be thirsty again. Jesus was concerned for the whole person. And I think this is true of the church. We're true of people's spiritual needs. And a lot of people, even here, are carrying heavy burdens. And at least in my experience, even starving people still have, you know, that need for something else. D.T. Niles, when I was starting out, was a Ceylonese Christian from what's now Sri Lanka. And he had a very nice saying. He defined evangelism this way. He said, evangelism is one beggar telling another where to find food. And that is part of the church's job, isn't it? To show people where to find that bread they need. Just think of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. An old monk back in the Middle Ages translated that. Give us this day our bread, your word from heaven. Again, to be continued. Amen.